Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:08 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is April 26th. And a lot to talk about today, but I thought I would start off with the VIX. There are a number of things that occur to me when looking at this chart, but I think it is important to look at the long-term chart. And when you look at that long-term chart, what you're presented with is the simple fact that since the early 1990s, the VIX has never traded below 10 on any kind of sustained basis, and it is currently at 10.48. On previous occasions, when it has got back to test that 10 level, then volatility has picked up pretty quickly afterwards. So then one has to question, what happened in the last week? And when we look at it over just the last couple of years, there was a spike in volatility in 2015. It was pretty short-lived, and that corresponded with a pullback, really reasonably sharp pullback on Wall Street within that ranging phase that had persisted since the beginning of 2014 through to the middle of last year. But since then, the peaks have been successively lower. We've had a progression of lower rally highs, with the most recent being just 2 weeks ago. And just last weekend, with the election result in France, then volatility pulled back very sharply. These switches around in and I think perhaps we should define what the VIX index in fact is. Obviously, a lot of people call it the volatility index, but given how it's measured, it is perhaps the better way to think about it is in terms of demand for insurance, demand for hedging against a calamity. And all of that insurance was sold at the beginning, or really at the beginning of this week, with the election result in France. We're back in a risk-on environment. And in the period between December and March, we had a very inert environment in volatility, and prices had come right back down. But we're at this, if it closes where it is right now, it is going to be the lowest close on the VIX that we have seen in quite a sustained period of time. And when we look at the S&P 500, the index is now testing its high. It is, and this has been a pretty emphatic move so far this week. It has been up on 3 consecutive days, and it gapped higher on Monday, and it is now testing its peak, and volatility is at a new closing low. Now, this is the upper side of a 2-month range, and the Nasdaq has already broken out. It has been the leader within the context of the bull market that has been in evidence since 2009, and it has clearly broken on the upside. When we look at that weekly chart, we're also presented with a trend that is picking up pace, that the size of this reaction was comparatively shallow relative to what back between October and November was a relatively shallow range. This one was even shallower, and it has been resolved on the upside, and we continue to see it breaking upwards. This is very powerful activity, and when we think about the imbalance between supply and demand, if the size of the reactions is narrowing and the size of the breakouts is increasing, well then the imbalance is widening, and what we're also seeing is that the pace of the advance is picking up, so that the pool of available supply is being exhausted in a more rapid manner. In other words, an accelerating market is unsustainable beyond the short to medium term, and there is the potential that this market is beginning to accelerate higher. It is certainly picking up pace on the upside. The volatility index, the way that it pulled back so very sharply, suggests that a lot of the hedging activity has been taken off, that the market is concluding we're in a risk-on environment. And there are a couple of reasons for that. One is that France did not decide to send two anti-euro candidates into the final round of the election, and the Trump administration is floating the idea of substantially lower corporate taxes, a a modest tax on repatriating the trillions in foreign earnings that a number of those Nasdaq companies have got overseas. And that is before we begin to even think about what the potential is for a fiscal stimulus. So the market is pricing in a very benign outcome. And it is not being challenged by a surging oil price. Surging oil prices have generally been a harbinger of recessions, and for all the reasons that we've discussed previously, there is a significant challenge represented by that $60 area for oil prices. I continue to believe that we are going to have a rangy environment overall for oil prices, but that the trough peak swings could be in excess of 100%, and that is highly characteristic of what we would see in a base formation. And I think that it is too early to call this a base formation. I think what we could perhaps refer to it more as is as a secular stagnation, that there is ample supply available to come onto the market above $60 a barrel. There has been a massive rationalization of the drilling sector. They have had to go all in for technology, and they have succeeded in bringing down their costs. And that's only when we talk about the onshore market. There is ample supply offshore, which becomes increasingly viable the higher prices go. So the only way that we're going to see prices moving substantially higher is if OPEC were to cut additionally. But that's going to be a hard negotiation because the Russians are already planning to increase supply in the second half of this year. So their willingness to cooperate with OPEC in any additional cuts is highly questionable. And when we look at that weekly chart of oil, of Brent crude, it has pulled back pretty sharply over the last couple of weeks, and it is now back in the region of the trend mean and in the region of its most recent low. A break in that progression of high reaction lows would represent a rollover, and then we would have further evidence that this is a much more choppy, rangy environment than and at lower levels than many have really been willing to contemplate over the context of what has been a very bullish period for oil prices over the last decade. We are very much in a new world, and the prospect of energy prices contributing to inflation and to really the kind of tax that higher energy prices represent for the consumer is something that is very much in the past. We have news today that Google is beginning to roll out its autonomous vehicles in Phoenix, Arizona. This could represent a profound change. Now, Google continues to move to new highs. There has been really quite a change in the consistency of this trend. It had been in a step sequence advance where it went sideways and then it went up and then it went sideways and up. Whereas that changed in the middle of last year. The volatility has decreased, the size of the pullbacks has been smaller, and the ranges have been tighter, and it has now finding support in the region of the trend mean in a more consistent manner, and it broke to new highs this week. It is rolling up towards that $900 a share. Amazon is also, and I think perhaps investors are looking at these trends. Amazon is at 911, and I wonder, are other people starting to look at these share prices and beginning to think, what is the first one that is going to get to $1,000? The only other share out there that trades at these kinds of levels is Berkshire Hathaway, and that's just their A shares. And I don't think that people are really thinking about it when they think about other shares that could potentially be trading at $1,000 a share. So technology is certainly the leading sector at present. And there is, and I think Facebook is also worth taking a look at, that it has been in this rather consistent advance over the last 3 years, but now the pace of that advance is also picking up. that if it was going to pull back, it would have done so 3 weeks ago. And instead, it is breaking on the upside. So now that overextension relative to the trend mean is higher or wider than at any time since at least the beginning of 2014. And that suggests that we are getting a pickup in the pace of the advance. This is generally when these kinds of shares do best, where one sees one's portfolio doing better and better every day. But the first clear downward dynamics are likely to at least check the advance. And perhaps the more important point is that when we've had volatility come down so abruptly, with people taking off their hedges, then that is the time when we need to be more cautious, when everyone else has taken off their hedges, when we did have downward dynamics in March, and they did not result in a reversion to the mean, then that has conditioned people to expect that taking out hedges doesn't work and that it is expensive. And of course, it is when people make that conclusion that hedging is perhaps more important, because we know that the more that something becomes overextended relative to the trend mean, the greater the potential is that it will eventually revert back to that mean. When we look at the US government bonds, and I am not typing particularly effectively, US 10-year treasuries are at 2.31%, pretty much unchanged relative to that pretty impressive move that we had yesterday. A pushback into that 2.4% level would really confirm that we have a failed downside break. More importantly, the yield has bounced from the region of the trend mean. And a point that I've made on successive audios is that in order to truly confirm that we have had a low, not just of short-term significance in terms of those yields, but long-term significance, the buy the dip strategy in the bond market will have to be seen to fail. And what would really confirm that would be a move above 3%. But the fact that we have had yields bounce pretty impressively now from the trend mean is at least beginning to contribute to that eventual outcome. I've written a bit today in Comment of the Day about the divergence between the continuous commodity index, which is unweighted and really looks at all of the commodity complex, and the LME Metals Index, which is really just the industrial metals. There has been some sharp deterioration, particularly in the softs and in the grains and beans, where the sugar price has been pulling back really very sharply and is now beginning to accelerate lower. And the UK contract has been a bit firmer, but the US contract has got clear characteristics of accelerating lower. Rough rice has pulled back very sharply and is now testing its lows. And considering that it has been ranging around this level for 2 years already, then a clear upper dynamic would really be required to check the potential for this to decline further. When we look at it on that longer term chart, then we can see that this region around the $10 area is historically high relative to where prices had traded in the decades before the big breakout in 2005. So it is important just how well this level is going to hold. So we can see that there is no problem with supply of agricultural commodities. And I think that stands in sharp contrast to the continued interest that the media have in promoting the merits of eating insects. There is no shortage of food right now, and the world is quite capable of producing ample supplies of food. It is really only a question of governance and logistics as to whether that food can get to the people who need it. And in the precious metal markets, then we are presented with a market where it has been pretty choppy, but gold prices are continuing to hold around this $1,250 area. Even in the context of what is now a risk-on environment, I think that the people who are buying gold are not looking so much at the risk-on environment, but at the risks of an accelerating market. So gold has been comparatively steady, despite the fact that it has pulled back by about $20 over the last week. This progression of higher reaction lows since the beginning of the year does continue to hold. And if we look at the gold shares index, they have been out underperforming the gold price. But there is a short-term oversold condition right now. They are bouncing from the region of the March low in here today. And what I think is perhaps the most important thing is that this progression of high reaction lows has held, that the big pullback that we saw in the latter half of last year has given way to a more rangy environment. But they will need to follow through on the upside tomorrow to confirm that support has been found in the region of that March low. When we look at the broader stock markets, then it was a reasonably quiet day. I think the big The much more important point is that Asia has followed through on the strong performance that we had on Wall Street over the last few days, and the Nikkei is has firmed up back up above the 19,000 level. The Hang Seng and the H Share Index are both firming, and the Chinese market has been a little bit steadier. But that is the one that really does need to bounce from the current area, and meanwhile, the Nifty, which continues to represent the greatest upside potential in Asia right now, and I think with the lowest risk premium, has firmed additionally in here today and pushed on to another new high, and it is pulling away from this 9,000 area right now. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.